Tonight's win for the Knicks, BT. Anytime you can beat Philadelphia, it's fun and give Sixers fans a little pain. Last night, they do that all on their own anyway, but good to see the Knicks get a win. And I'm not even taking the game seriously because no Cat, and I don't care about Embiid, he's always hurt, but when Cat doesn't play, obviously the Knicks are on hold, but they get the win. For me, it's going to come down to what Mitchell Robinson can do when he comes back. I want to see what this team's going to be defensively with Mitchell Robinson there. That's where they struggle the most. That's where the inconsistencies come from. They need to get Mitch back.
Knicks are no longer a cute story. I said this to you yesterday, right? Eventually, guys, we're going to get to a point where the Jets named their head coach, the Giants quarterback situation's resolved, and, you know, we obviously get a spring training here, and, of course, the Pete Alonso situation's resolved either positively for the Mets or he's gone, right? So once those stories dwindle and go away and the energy starts to dissipate, we move on to the next big thing. And it's no longer a cute little story. Like, the Knicks, what they did, and I love what they did. I know Bridges had a couple of weird games and obviously didn't start very well at a couple of nights ago. It's hard talking about Bridges. You know, the Knicks have been far from perfect this year, but the New York Knicks went into their treasure chest and reached for every asset that they have to get Bridges here to make a run for a championship. They must trade Mitchell Robinson. I'm not taking a chance. I'm not messing around. Hey, the deadline's February 6th. All right, it is mid-January. He's not even bursting sprints yet, and he's not even at contact. So, number one, is he ready by February 6th? I don't know. I don't think he is. And if he is, and he gets hurt again, then you can't make a move. If they don't shore up behind Cat, they're not winning anything.
Right, but here's the issue. Number one, what's the value for Mitchell Robinson as far as a trade goes if the guy hasn't taken the floor all year long? Number two,
the upside would be, just to answer you, for another team.
Okay.
And the contracts, he's only making 12, 13 mil.
Okay.
It's affordable.
And number two, and this is more important to me, who is going to do what Mitch can do better than Mitch when he comes back healthy?
Nobody, but you need somebody to do something better. I know Sims was okay last night. Like, there can't be this incredible downgrade after Karl Anthony Towns to whomever's playing the five.
Right, but Mitch is their starting center. Like, that's how they were built.
Well, yeah, but when he was the starting center, they weren't a championship team.
Right, offensively. Defensively,
yeah.
They were.
Yeah, much more so than this year.
Right,
yeah.
And unfortunately, that can only take them so far. So now the idea, and that's what I'm saying, like, we haven't seen it yet. Rather than trade him, and I know why you don't like him, he can never stay healthy, all those different things, but rather than trade him, I would love to see, because when he's on the floor, the Knicks are going to have four other scorers around, I shouldn't say four other, they're going to have four scorers around Mitchell Robinson, when in the past, they didn't have that, so they were limited. They had maybe one or two guys with Mitch who has zero offensive game. So now the appeal to me is you put Mitch back at center, let him be the ultimate rim protector that he is, rebound machine, all those different things, and you get offense, BT, from all other four spots on the floor. That, to me, might be a championship-caliber team. I don't know, because we haven't seen it.
Well, I got to nip this in the bud, because that part I agree with. Like, if you tell me that Mitchell Robinson's out there and he plays, you know, 30 more games the rest of the way and it's smooth sailing, I agree. I mean, it's incredibly appealing, which is why one of the reasons they made the move for Bridges and put all those chips in the table, because they think, and I don't think it was a bad thought, they thought that if everything's right and Mitch is healthy and the other pieces come together, that they will be, you know, in a 2 or 3 year window, maybe four, but probably 2 or 3 for a championship. I don't disagree. You know, you have Mitch in the middle. You got Cat banging threes. You got Cat playing some four. You got Brunson putting people on skates. You got OG and Bridges banging threes from the corner and an elite, you know, wing defense. Yes, as a concept. The problem is, here's what I'm saying. I want to make sure we don't have two different conversations. I do agree with that. What I'm saying is, I don't think he's ever going to be healthy, and I'm not waiting for it.
Right, so then I'll further the conversation by saying this. Let's say he's not healthy. Don't you think the Knicks are screwed anyway? Because they're not going to be able to get... Like, what are you trading Mitch for? Okay, some team buys the upside of Mitchell Robinson, and they think that they could do what the Knicks wanted to do with Mitch being the defender, but they have time to do it. Knicks are in a short championship window here, whatever it may be. Like, how are the Knicks furthering themselves to get better, to get closer to that championship by trading Mitch?
Okay, I'm going to tell you. I think that... they would then, that would almost be a change in philosophy. And I don't know that it's going to work. Like, I'm not saying, right. Oh, you trade Mitch, you get Valanciunas, who's been mentioned out there, and it's, you know, let's go beat the Celtics and whack OKC in six and start booking the parade. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm definitely saying is, without Mitch, and I'm not banking on him, there's no championship.
Right.
So you at least have to have a plan B. And I think if it's, let's just take Valanciunas, because the other kid was traded yesterday from Charlotte, possible Nick target. If you get Valanciunas, now maybe you almost... You just try to win a championship by outscoring teams. Valanciunas, now, not that he's a star.
Right.
He's not Ewing. You know, he's not one of those guys, not Cat. But what he is, you know, his days with the Raptors, he was a 16, 17-point-per-game night guy. Not that he's going to be that here, but he's not going to be Jericho Sims, who, if it's not a dunk, can't score.
Right.
Like, and then you can, and he's a good passer. He's had a lot of international experience. He's a good, smart player that I think fits this team's window. The worst thing, because, again, I got to reiterate this. Even though we're leading with the Knicks today, there's a point fast. All right, we're going to know who the Giants quarterback is. Might be Aaron Glenn, right. Might be Flores. We got the Jets coach. Pete's either here or he's not. And then the focus is on the Garden. Yeah, the Rangers as well, but more so the Rangers. Every single move that Leon Rose has made, from inactivity early to collecting all these draft assets to doing everything he's done to this point, is about winning a championship. And listen, I'm telling you, Sal, not only do I think that they should trade Mitchell Robinson, I almost guarantee that they will. I would be stunned if they're not thinking what I'm thinking. You can't bank on his health. He's never right.
Right, but to me, that would be foolish. Because
why? He's never healthy.
Their best shot at a championship is to have Mitch healthy and let him be the rim protector with everybody else doing their job scoring the basketball. They aren't going to build better than that. Get more scoring with Valanciunas. Like, I get what you're saying, okay, have another bench piece, but the Knicks already are a terrific elite offensive team. They don't necessarily need more of that. They need defense, and there's not a better fit than the way that this team was built with Mitchell Robinson. That's why, to me, I want a championship. You want a championship. I believe their best path to a championship is to keep Mitch, cross your fingers, hope that he can come back, which the latest report was that he's going to be back early February.
Cross the fingers.
Yeah, but that's not exactly sounding very appealing.
Well, cross the fingers.
Well, the other options aren't appealing either. Valanciunas isn't appealing.
Who would you rather play, Valanciunas or Jericho Sims?
Well,
it's not even close. Jericho, I know you know the answer. It's Valanciunas.
But Jericho Sims as a backup to Mitch, and by the way, it would be like the third option, because you could go Mitch at center, Carl Anthony Towns at the four.
100%.
Or you just go Cat at the five, and you have Mitch getting some minutes on the bench.
Well, backing up Cat at the five.
If
Mitchell Robinson's healthy, not even sprinting.
Okay, but that's...
The deadline's in 2 weeks, dude. That's
how they built it. Unless you're telling me that you could get a replacement for Mitch.
There's nobody out there that does what he does available.
There's not. Like I told you yesterday, the one thing I would want would be the best defensive big that they could find, but there are no better options than Mitch, and I really want another scoring option off the bench would be nice, just to have at least one more legitimate NBA option. But I'm rolling the dice with Mitch. Unfortunately, that's the bet that they've made, and that to me is the best path to a championship, getting him back and keeping him healthy.
See, I'm going to go back to the phrase, cross your fingers. Like, you know, last year, I'm going to bring the Mets in for a sec. Last year, the Mets crossed their fingers. They really did. They had some reclamation projects, obviously, you know, Manaea and Seve, whatever. Iglesias, we know the names, right? And it worked out. It worked out more than most of us thought, because we thought last year was a real transition year for the Mets, and we were okay with that because their talent base was low. David Stearns just got here. Is crossing the fingers a good plan for the Mets this year? The answer is no, because they just gave Juan Soto a gazillion dollars. And the Mets right now are now expected, maybe not to win a championship because of the Dodgers, whatever, but to be a playoff team and to keep their trajectory moving. Crossing the fingers for the Knicks, that's not an option.
Right, but you know you have a guy that's supposed to come back healthy in February. It's not like their season is over.
He's not running yet.
Okay, but you also haven't given me a good alternative. Like
Valanciunas. I gave you one.
But that's not good. I don't think
he's good enough for you. It's not good enough for them. It's good enough for me.
I don't think Valanciunas makes them a championship team.
Okay, now that... I can understand why you say that, and I can't say it definitely does.
Right.
What I do know, and this I know, if Mitch comes back and gets hurt or doesn't come back, they have 0.0% chance to win a championship. At least with Valanciunas, you got a puncher's chance.
You're trying to limit the risk, which is a big risk in Mitch, even if it means sacrificing going a little step down.
Correct.
I'd rather just maintain the risk, because to me it's higher risk but much higher reward.
Or no reward.
Well, right, but I'm saying high risk.
Understood. Let me ask you this. Do you, and we'll get these calls here. I know Knicks fans are fired up. Knicks fans are awesome. 888-808-1019, BT and South. Do you think that what do you think is the window in terms of length of years for the Knicks to win a championship or compete for a championship?
I would say at least the next 2 to 3.
I would agree. That would be my window as well.
Who knows what's going to happen beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, if Tatum gets hurt or disgruntled, though, you never know, of course. Or if one of our guys gets hurt, sure. I would agree,
Sal. Down. I mean, Kat, you know, who the hell knows?
I don't know. But I think that 2 to 3 years is a very smart estimate. I'm with you 1,000%.
With this core group.
100%. Right. And the money says it's going to be this group because there's really not a whole lot of flexibility. So we're on the same page with that. My pushback to your plan is if you don't try to max out not punting, but if you're not doing everything you can in a 3-year window, what are we doing?
Understood. And here's what I would say to that.
Got to trade him.
In season, in this particular year, I'm going to roll the dice with Mitch. If he can't come back healthy or stay healthy, then I would reassess in the offseason, saying, hey, we tried it with this guy.
It's a wasted year.
I don't know if it's wasted because you're still hoping he could come back. But, hey, we tried it with this guy. It just hasn't worked. He can't get healthy, can't stay healthy. We can't put all our eggs in that basket again. Let's see what the alternative options are. I would consider that in the offseason. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Andrew is in North Salem. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hope everything's going well. So, going to the Knicks now, I think they should deal Mitchell Robinson. I do like him as a guy, but when you look overall, he only plays like 20 games a year, and then he's going to sustain an injury in the playoffs when it gets real hectic. A guy I'd like to see is Clint Capela from the Hawks. If they could somehow get him, I would definitely deal Mitchell Robinson and some prospects. To get him, because that guy, he's just a beast.
He's bouncy.
He's gonna play every night.
Well, he's bouncy, and he's very different than Valanciunas, and he's not quite Mitch, although he does certain things better. That's actually a really good name. Think about this, Sal. Now, you didn't see him play because I'm a couple of years older than you, but I remember when I first started watching the Knicks, and it's a totally different game, obviously, but Bill Cartwright.
Yep.
Bill was the third overall pick, I want to say, out of San Francisco back in the day, and he always had foot issues. Bigs with bad feet. It's done.
Right.
Bill Walton, Bill Cartwright, Mitchell Robinson. Just doesn't work out.
I understand that. I just want
to
see
Sam Bowie.
I just want to see the better option. Odin, did you mention him?
But that was more of a knee with Odin. But even lower extremity, sure. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's why I was always worried about Porzingis all those years.
Good
Same
point.
Thing, big guy. Anyway, I'm okay. Like, it's not like, oh, no, you can't trade Mitchell Robinson. I just don't believe that any of the options out there. Like, I trust Leon Rose and Tibbs, and they put this team together with the thought of Mitchell Robinson being the center. I just want to see it because I know he's a beast on the boards and a beast of a rim protector. And to think of that when you have 4 other legit scoring options, that to me is the perfect recipe. Not to mention, by the way, 2 elite perimeter defenders.
Then it's basically 60% and really 80% of Hart's on the floor that are elite defenders. I love it. Can he run?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's the big
I love the way sounds.
If you were 100% healthy...
We're not having the discussion.
Correct.
And by the way, if he's 100% healthy, Knicks might be the one seed now in the Eastern Conference, honestly.
So the question then becomes, is it worth the risk of waiting for him to come back?
You know my answer.
I'm saying yes, you're saying no. And also, for me, versus the other options out there. Now, if Leon Rose and Tibbs figure that, hey, look, we're trying to go for, like you're saying, BT, and we think that Capela or Valanciunas or whoever, whatever options we're not mentioning that are out there, they think it could be better than Mitch. Well, we have to trust it and then see how it plays out. But I know what Mitchell Robinson is. I also know he can't stay healthy, which is a big problem. He doesn't have to stay healthy all year long. If they can get him on the floor in February, mid-February, start to get him ramped up and get him back in time for the postseason, then I think that I personally would rather run the risk of having Mitch at center and the other 4 who could score and defend as well.
Last year, I would have rolled the dice. I'm not doing it this year. I'm making a trade.
Mike is in Ramtown. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's up?
What's happening, buddy?
Hey, BT, I got to agree with you. And Sal, sadly, I have to disagree with you. You could both answer the same question. What is the best ability?
Availability.
Not necessarily.
Correct. Not necessarily,
Mike, because I got news for you. There's a lot of people who would be available to fill in for these shows that BT and I do, and they wouldn't be as good as we are. So there is a point where, yes, that's a thing.
That's my guy. Yeah, boy. True, well, right? Ain't wrong, man.
Yeah, you also want to be available? You got to be good, too.
I respect your response. However, it has nothing to do with the Knicks and Mitchell Robinson. The NBA is a different league. It's an outside league. It's not an inside league. Yes, a center helps, but a dominant center and shot blocker definitely helps, but it's not the end all and the be all. So just get someone who can like actually play and is not sitting in a boot in a suit on the bench. You know, that would be nice.
Yeah.
So get rid of him. Get, like BT said, get Jonas in here. A guy who averages a double-double every night. 13 points, 10 rebounds.
Yeah, he's solid. He's always been good.
And is available.
Yep.
Let's get that guy on the roster.
The question I have, and thank you for the call, Mike, good stuff. The question I would have is, how good of a defender is he, and does he fit what the Knicks are going to be trying to do?
He's not Mitch as a defender. Okay. I mean, pretty much nobody is when they're healthy. I understood.
And why then, like, you've seen the defensive issues that the Knicks have had without Mitch. It's almost like they're built to survive defensively around the availability of Mitchell Robinson, mm-hmm. which is a problem. Like, mm-hmm. okay, for years we've known the case. This is nothing new with Mitchell Robinson. You and I had this conversation during the season last year, during the offseason. I still thought then that it was worth the risk. I'm still going to think it now. Now, if he's out for the season, then yeah, you're right. You've wasted a season. I'm hoping he comes back before the postseason. That's all I care about is the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I don't care what seed they are, get in the postseason, and I think they can do damage once they get into the postseason. But if not Mitch, then who? Is Valanciunas going to make this team better defensively? Because BT, to me, regardless of who's on the floor or who they bring in, Mitch or not, the one thing that it's imperative that they do to become a championship caliber team is play better, more consistent defense.
Or church try to run you out of the gym and score more.
Okay.
Which I don't love. Trust me, I don't, you know, they're not the Warriors. There's no Steph Curry on this team from 5-7 years ago. I get that. But, you know, I think that the drop for me, not that Sims would play 10, 12, 15 minutes in the playoffs. I get that. But the ability of, like, Valanciunas, he's also an amazing passer. He's not a superstar, but, you know, you're an NBA fan. You've watched him. That was on the Wizards. They stink. I mean, they're going to get rid of him. Nick's got to find some. It would be an easy deal to strike. And the other issue here.
Give me insurance for Cat, too, which I like.
Absolutely.
Which is a different story, though, than being.
But it's actually, it's a different story, but it's also, it just increases the appeal. Because now it's like, all right, so without Mitch's availability or not knowing what it might be moving forward, boom, you kind of check that box. Different player, I give you that, but you check a box because he's a lot better than Sims and a lot better than a lot of other bigs in the NBA, quite frankly. And also, you know, Towns, you know, has been a little creaky this year.
Know.
You know, whether it's the knee, now he's got the bone chip in the hand, which I'm not worried about, but he's already missed 4 or 5 games, whatever. See, the issue for the Knicks, and it sucks. The timing is very unfortunate. They do not have the benefit of good timing here. The timeline really complicates what they want to do versus maybe what they have to do.
The deadline?
It's January 16th, and the deadline's February 6th, and Mitch ain't running yet. So, you know, if it was December 6th, now, and we got 2 months, kick it down the road, see how he's doing, get the cardio going, you know, work up to contact, sprint, and if he looks good, you don't do it. I cannot possibly waste a season when you've got about a 3-year championship window.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019 on the Fan. Finally, it's happened to me. Right in front of my face, and I just cannot hide it. Meeting Mr. Right, the man of my dreams, the one who shows me true love. BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll get back to those calls in just a second. All right, BT, I'm going to give you a couple of options here for topics. The second layer here.
Okay.
And you could choose which one we're going to talk about now. You want to talk about I'm going to give you 3.
Okay.
The minutes.
Okay.
The Knicks bench.
Mm-hmm.
Or what Karl Anthony Towns was wearing last night.
I think Kat's attire is probably less interesting because he's a fan. What are you going to get? To get on for it?
Yes!
Why? Oh, so maybe we got to talk about this.
We just want to get this out now.
Yeah, let's go. Forget minutes and bench.
Yeah. So we know Jalen Brunson's an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
Fine. Like, I don't care. He wants to wear the hoodie post-game, whatever it may be. First of all, Kat's not playing. That's number one. Strike one. Like,
correct.
You don't get to play every game, but Strike one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, like Ewing played. I'm sorry.
Yes, he did.
I say the catch, but Ewing played. He'd go out there and suck it up.
Although he did miss 25 games his rookie year, even though he won rookie of the year. But that did happen.
Ewing couldn't play when he was injured. There was no hurt for Ewing.
I agree with that.
It was when he was injured. But forget about that for a second.
Okay.
And you know I love Cat. You're not playing in the game. You're playing on the road in Philadelphia against the Philadelphia 76ers. And you're wearing a Philadelphia Eagles sweatshirt on the Knicks bench, that to me is crossing a line. We talked about this with Malik Nabers rooting for Washington.
Yeah.
This is even worse. You don't think that's crossing a line?
Not as much as you. It didn't bother me. Wow. But I'm also not a Giants fan. I don't know. If he's on the bench wearing a Patriots hoodie or Bills or a Dolphins.
Maybe it strikes me a little differently,
to be fair.
If he's a Pats fan, that's a great analogy. If he's a Pats fan, not playing in a game against the Celtics in Boston, wearing a Patriots hoodie.
I'd probably roast him. I guess when you put it that way, I just... So the only difference is that he wore it on the bench, not that he wore it.
I don't care that he wears it. If you wore it
okay, because now we're being consistent, because Brunson does that.
Although, I will say wearing it in Philly.
In Philly.
So it's two strikes. You wore it on the bench during the game, you did it in Philly. Like, I don't even think there should be a rule where players can't wear other teams' memorabilia on the bench. Like, that's just, come on.
Yeah, I mean, if David Stern was still alive, it wouldn't be happening. I always try to see both sides, and when I don't see both sides, I will tell you, no, I agree, or I completely disagree. I mean, I get where you're coming from. It didn't strike me as passionately as it has struck you, evidently, right. Which is odd because I usually react to that stuff. I'm not above being petty.
But he's an
Eagles fan.
You sent a tweet last night like a Sixers fan, suck on that, or would you say?
Well, you don't want you tapping this in 4K. That's exactly what I said.
Right, so it's a New York Philly thing.
Oh, yeah, I can't stand them.
And then yet Philly fans will look at the Knicks and be like, oh, well, Brunson's an Eagle fan. Okay, fine. Cat is on the bench, not playing, wearing an Eagle hoodie. Like, it gives them fodder.
I might have to give you this one. Begrudgingly, I might have to tap out of this one.
You know what I mean?
I mean, the more we get into it, again, on the bench.
He's trolling the Knicks fans.
No. That's where I totally did. He's not trolling the Knicks fans. Now you're taking it a step too far.
You're wearing it. You basically.
Maybe he's trolling Giant fans. He's not trolling the Knicks fan. Stop.
It's New York versus Philly. And he is a New York Knicks.
But he's from South Jersey, which is basically Eagles country.
I didn't say that he's got to root for the crappy Jets or Giants. He can root for whoever he wants.
Yeah.
But in a game against a Philadelphia team while you're on the bench, you're going to wear a...
All right, you made your point. All right, tapped out a minute ago.
I had to get that off my chest and hammer it home. Let's get back to the calls. We'll get to the minutes conversation of the bench coming up in a little bit. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the fan. Mitchell Robinson been the topic. I wouldn't trade him. BT would. Greg in North Salem, what do you think?
I would like to hedge my bets and keep Mitch and try to get somebody that can be an insurance plan. You know, give up a secondary asset for somebody like Kevin Looney or some guy that's just a one-dimensional defensive center, 4-5, and, you know, keep him there in case Mitch doesn't make it through the playoff run. But I think the Knicks actually could probably use another bench player, not just at the 4-5. I mean, we're not getting DiVincenzo back, but somebody like that would be a nice insurance because I think they just go McBride and then basically they peter out.
Well, I mean, listen.
Landry Shamet guy.
Yeah, I'm not a Shamet. Yeah, I got. He's got to get. I think he's still a little rusty, but whatever. Shamet, whatever.
Yeah. Shumpert, I was called him Shumpert.
You did right? in on, our man, meeting, Shamet. Shumpert. Remember Shump? Shump was good, but he was all over the Shumpert. Map. But yeah, I liked him. I did like his energy. All right, so.
What the hell is her name?
Ziggy.
No.
The other one.
Tina
Turner?
Thompson. I don't know, but I used to love her.
Tina Thompson.
Tiana Taylor.
There you go, Tiana Taylor.
Not even close.
Well, what do you mean, two T's?
Tina Thompson.
I had the two T's. Tiana Taylor. I loved her. She is.
Tiana Taylor?
I got to show you the video she was in.
Let me just see the picture real quick. How do you spell it?
T-I-A-N-N-A? T-E-Y. Tiana.
T-E-Y.
She got a good album. I listened to her first album that was out.
I'm sure you care.
No, I'm serious. It was actually pretty good.
Tiana Taylor. Let me see. I'll give you my...
You're not going to be thrilled with the first.
Yeah, no, not my... I mean, it was...
Dude,
not for me.
Body's a 10-10.
Well, the body does look
good. The problem is the Google images are not fantastic to start.
I'm going to show you the video in break. Why I liked her. Anyway, the Knicks do need. We were talking about this a little bit before.
I'll stick with Stevie Nicks circa 83. Stand back.
Stevie Nicks.
You know me and my time warp. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The Knicks do need another bench player.
Yeah.
Aside from, you know, what we talk about with Robinson and you know, what they need seriously with at center potentially, they need, in addition to that, to be a championship team, round out the roster, at least I think one more, you know, legit NBA player on the bench. Doesn't have to be a superstar.
Yeah.
Just a good option to go along with Achiuwa, McBride, and
Hart can play second unit too. Yeah. And campaign. Okay. So
well, that's true too.
When absolutely.
I'm sorry, I didn't even think about that.
Oh,
when
yeah.
Mitch comes back healthy, mm-hmm. now your bench is going to have another piece on there.
Yeah, but I don't think that Mitch will start. I think that Mitch will be coming off the bench and Hart will still start. But that could change, you know, matchup specific. But based on what you just said, what do you think they need more? Like another sniper on the bench or a backup to Mitch? Like, you know, get rid of Mitch and make the move I think that they need the big that can play some defense.
Tough question.
How many shooters they got? You know, obviously the wings can shoot from the corners, both OG and Mikal Bridges. Brunson's finding his groove. He's a sniper. He's amazing.
Okay, so
campaign can light it up. He's a little inconsistent, but he's a good shooter.
So you're saying
got shooters?
You're saying if they don't trade Mitch, you still want a backup big that will be better than Jericho Sims?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm also saying that you have to trade Mitch to not mess around and take a chance. On him not being
healthy.
Well, why can't you
trade for a backup center and keep Mitch?
Because you're going to have to give up Mitch to get that player. I really 100% think. I strongly think the finances work. I mean, by the way, if you could do that, that's optimal. Oh, yeah. Wait, so I can get another guy with six fouls who's a little bouncy and can protect the rim and move. Not that Valanciunas is bouncy, but if you can find someone and keep Mitch, grand slam.
If Mitch comes back, I think the bench lack of depth is overblown. And I think it's overblown anyway, because in the postseason, you're not going 10, 11 deep.
No, definitely not. Definitely not 11. Yeah, zero
well,
chance.
Whatever. Like,
not even saying, go 10. You go 9.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, right.
Maybe.
I would go 7, 8. Like, Matt, like Riley.
I think you need 8. 7 is dangerous,
keep,
Sal.
Okay, fair
Sal,
enough.
Yeah, but Riley, we'll finish your thoughts. Riley, what?
You used to keep it seven guys on the bench.
How many championships did he win? Zero.
I mean, come on. Here. With the Knicks. Yeah, but he didn't even have that deep.
Well, I'm just saying, though. I think he played more than 7 with the Lakers.
He didn't have that deep of a starting 5. The Knicks starting 5 are loaded. So I wouldn't look beyond, like, McBride's a player, obviously.
Definitely.
Campaign is a good bench player.
I like him.
Achiuwa is a solid bench player.
I like him.
Mitch coming back into the mix, I think, helps lengthen things out a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I don't love Jericho Sims, but all right, if he's going to give you some minutes, I'd like to upgrade there. Maybe that would be my wish list. Upgrade backup center, keep Mitch, and then I'd be strong with those 8, with that rotation of 8 going into the postseason. I think the lack of bench stuff has been overblown.
Let me ask you this. You know, right now, you think the Knicks are a championship team? Because I do not.
Well, when you say that, you mean, do I think that even if they maxed out with their potential, could they be a championship team?
The way they look through 35, 40, exactly.
I'll say they have not played like a championship team in the first half of these games.
Correct.
In the first half of the season.
Yep, and in my opinion, I agree with that. And in my opinion, without an addition behind Karl Anthony Towns, they will not resemble that type of team.
See, I think...
Because I can't bank on Mitch.
I think if Mitch comes back...
If...
They will. They will resemble that team because I do believe he's going to be the missing piece defensively, which is what's lacking. They could score 120, 130, 140, and that's okay. Even if they're all from 3, they're still going to score enough. The defense worries me.
It should, and I'm worried about the defense as well. I got you. You know, we're speaking the same language with that. What I'm saying is, all right, let's say the Knicks do nothing. And by the way, I'm almost fully committed to, like, you know what I feel, but I really think the Knicks are thinking what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we'll find out. It's not about being right, but I think that they're too smart, this version of the Knicks, to know that they can't rely on Mitch Robinson. But, like, the window is what? It's 2 to 3 years. We hit that last segment, so you got to pounce on this. And to me, the worst thing, think about us doing a show on, it's going to throw out a random day, March 3rd.
Yeah.
And Mitch goes down again.
And
they didn't make a move. Season's over in terms of a championship.
That's why I'm saying a backup big.
I'm not taking that chance.
BT, it's kind of like half weighing it. BT and Sal and the Fan, we'll come back into the minutes aspect of it and continue with your Nick calls. 888-808.
Hello? I wish I was a little
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888 808-1019, the number to call. We're talking Knicks, the first hour of the show. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. So about the minutes, and I heard a caller, BT, I don't know if you heard this too, driving in this morning listening to Boomer and Geo, and somebody called and complained about the minutes with Tibbs, and then the following caller called and said, it's a lazy narrative, anybody's paying attention to it, it's not about the minutes, blah, 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 blah. I still believe that it is overrated to a certain extent. However, in this particular year, with this particular group, I do not think you can go to the well every single night of the regular season playing Cat and Brunson specifically. You want to throw in Ananobi as well, maybe those three guys who you worry about keeping them healthy. It seems Brunson is always banged up. So what do you think is going to happen come April or May in the postseason? Same thing with Karl Anthony Towns, and OG has been fragile before. But I think a lot of it's overblown. I don't think in this particular case, this year in the regular season, with a championship-caliber roster, people are making too much of it or it's a lazy narrative. I think Tibbs is using those guys too much.
My opinion on this is, at least for this version, all right, if you're going to run these guys into the ground, be the one seed. Have it pay some dividends. And they're not. And they're not going to be the one seed and not going to be the two seed. You hope they remain the three seed, and they probably will. So that's number one. Like, if you're going to chase and chase and chase and just be that heavy minute burden, then let's hit the carrot at the end of the road. They're not going to. So to me, it's kind of a waste of time, number one. But I've always thought, when you talk about minutes distribution, I look at something very unique. To me, and I understand that there's a correlation when the body gets fatigued and it breaks down, more of a chance, and then the recovery's not as quick. Understood. And especially soft tissue stuff and guys like OG, I know all about this. But I'm less concerned, and again, not with this team overall, with minutes, and I more focus on why are these guys playing so minutes? And the answer is because the bench isn't good enough. Like, that's why teams tend to lose. Not because their guys are tired, but there's a reason why Team X is playing so many minutes, you know, five or six guys, because the seventh, eighth, and ninth guys behind them aren't good enough to be on a championship team. That's the real problem, and everybody misses that.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with that necessarily. I feel like Tibbs is going to do this regardless. Like, the Knicks have had deeper teams over the years under Tibbs, specifically last year or even the year before. I felt like they were deeper, but they weren't as top-heavy. This year, it's interesting because you can't be more loaded talent-wise and the starting five. Like, this is the most talented Knicks group that we've ever seen. Maybe that has ever existed even before our lifetime.
Well, I mean, you know, that second championship with Monroe and Frazier and Willis Remy.
I don't know.
But it's offensively.
You know what I mean? Like,
outside of that team, I'm with you.
Offensively, skill-wise, and I know it's apples to oranges the NBA was, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So the starting five is so good that generally you'd have like 6, 7, and 8 maybe legitimate NBA players and come in and contribute, but you didn't have the top-heavy nature of this Knicks team, which is why I think it's a difficult balance that Tibbs is going to have to strike. I don't think he's playing these guys because the bench isn't deep enough or good enough. This is what Tibbs does. He played, I mean, that's what he's been doing forever.
But I think he would adjust if he had a better bench.
Okay, well,
that's what I'm saying. You
know
what I mean?
That's the question, yeah. For this particular year, this iteration of the Knicks with this talent, would he adjust if they had another option? I mean, the bench isn't awful with McBride, Payne, and now Achiuwa back. Remember, early in the year it was no Achiuwa, so that was even worse.
And McBride just got back, missed a lot with the hamstring.
Yeah, okay.
He missed a lot of time.
But that's a big part of it.
Absolutely. I love McBride.
But would you take, I mean, how many good bench players do you need to say a team's got a good bench?
Well, I think it's, I don't know if I'd frame it that way. I would say, what type of diversity do you need on the bench?
Useful bench players.
I would need an absolute front court, you know, 18 to 22 minute horse, you know, front court guy, big. And I need a couple shooters. And I need a backup point.
Okay, so, I mean, don't they have that with Achiuwa, Payne, and McBride?
They don't have the first thing that I said, that big. Not now.
Well, if Achiuwa's not that, then what's he doing?
Well, he's a good four, and he could play. He could guard a point guard on a switch. So I like Achiuwa.
Yeah, and Sims is not where you want him to be.
No.
But he's still not awful. He's a serviceable defensive big. He has no offensive game, but they don't need that.
I'm not a fan.
He's a poor man's Mish. I don't know why you don't like Sims.
I don't know. I was early, and I love when they took him. I thought it was a pretty astute move, but I just don't think he's improved a whole lot. You know, the other thing, too, is, you look at, like, minute distribution. Think about Ewing, right? And, you know, when Don Nelson tried to take the ball out of his hands, why Nelson got fired, you guys remember this,
yeah,
and tried to run the offense through, say, Anthony Mason, who was a point forward. Well, you know, Pat was getting a little bit older, and, you know, you want to guard against that, you know, not just from a philosophical change, but also just watch Patrick's knees. These minutes, like, nobody on the Knicks is old. You know, nobody's old.
Right.
So it's, I don't know that it's reckless. I don't know that I could use that word applied to this group, but it's trending in that direction.
And it's only the first half of the season.
Yeah.
Like, these guys got to be fresh into the postseason, what we expect to be a long run. Hoff just gave me some sad news in my ear here. Bob Uecker has passed away.
Ah,
90 years of age. The Brewers just tweeted it out.
Yeah. The Uke.
Yeah, I know.
The best.
Yeah, he was still going, right? Wasn't he doing games? I remember they were having a postseason
celebration. I heard him this October.
Yeah, God bless him.
And wow, I 90.
I loved Uecker, obviously, from Major League.
Yeah.
But even before that, Mr. Belvedere.
I used to watch Mr. Belvedere. I loved that show. It was great. The butler from Pittsburgh. He's I can still hear the music. And, like, he comes in on the bus from Pittsburgh, I think. Even though he was English or something, whatever he was. Belvedere's
Mr.
great.
Mr. Belvedere, Belvedere with Bob Uecker. And then Bob Uecker at WrestleMania. It was definitely four, I want to say.
I think it was four. Okay. Four or five. Yeah, he was involved in that.
I know. Uecker was everywhere. I mean, I met him once outside of Shea Stadium, had him sign a ticket stub, Mets Brewers, years ago. Yeah, I mean, Bob Uecker's like, he was a legend. So sad to hear. Man, look, 90 years and doing all the stuff that he did.
I mean,
it's a full life, but it's still sad.
It is, because, you know, even with Rizzuto and Kiner and just guys like that, you know, that that have been around forever, they're sad. I know it's a cliche. It's a soundtrack to our youth. And, you know, I've always said to Sal, I'm a very sentimental person. Like, my mind wanders a lot to back in the day, especially now as a dad with young kids. I value that stuff. So somebody like Bob Uecker, it's not sad. Same with Coach Karnisek. It's not sad. It hits you for a minute, and then you realize, what a life.
I mean, God, what a life. Right. I think we'd all sign for that. Yep. I'd sign for even, like, get me what he had or close to what he had even at 80. I don't need the extra 10 years.
Yeah,
90 years
yeah.
of age to have the life that he had.
Especially when you still have your mind and your faculties at 90. You're going to be a great, great grandfather, possibly. So it's a blessing. He was great.
If you had to pick one, and it's different, of course, in Milwaukee, because Brewers fans are always going to look at him as the voice of the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
From us, from the outside,
ooh, okay,
would you go Major League, Mr. Belvedere, WrestleMania
Major League.
4?
Major League, 100%.
I'd even go just a bit outside.
Yeah. I would go Major League over, but I'd go Belvedere over WrestleMania.
Would you really?
I used to watch it every day, man. I love Mr. Belvedere.
I love that show, too.
That's good.
What year, Hoff? Can you look that up, Mr. Belvedere?
I'm going to say 88, 89. Right. I'm throwing it in that area. Around there.
So I was like 9 or 10 at the time. I'm trying to think.
I was older.
I don't know why. And we used to watch that like live when it came out on whatever night.
Maybe syndication. No?
What do you got?
1985 to 1990.
Wow.
You're close. There you go.
And did it run? That's when it ran live?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I watched it live. I think I watched it in syndication. But I wouldn't have been watching it when I was like 14, 15. I don't think. No. Hmm.
Interesting.
No.
Maybe they had reruns. Who the hell knows?
Yeah, but I watched like Growing Pains and The Cosby Show when I was 14, 15.
Those I watched too, but those had to be on reruns for me, right? I would think.
Well, what was your favorite show? Yeah, for you. No. Not The Cosby Show. For you.
I don't really remember. No. Like the shows that I remember watching live in real time with my parents were Sunday night when they had Married with Children, The Simpsons.
You watched that with your parents, Married with Children?
Yeah.
That's funny. My dad would never watch that nonsense.
I was too young to get it.
Yeah.
But I remember like that was kind of appointment TV. Inside Herman's Head, was that another show?
I remember that. That was a Sunday night show. Yeah, sure.
I'm not sure about Mr. Belvedere, if that was live or not, but those were kind of the early ones. What's the one? Full House. I remember watching that with my sister on Friday night.
Yeah, okay. I think the first, I think the first comedy, like sitcom that I remember watching with my parents was probably Three's Company.
Okay.
And I do remember Laverne and Shirley, too. You know, and Happy Days. What about Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, back-to-back?
I think I saw reruns of that.
Yeah.
It had to be.
Yeah, for sure.
What about, was it All in the Family?
I loved all Sunday nights, All in the Family. Even, and then Archie's Place, he had a bar after it. It was the continuation. And the other show, I was going to ask you this. Like, it's something like, you know, we're so old at this point in terms of talking about these shows that we're talking about. You almost blur the line of what did I watch in real time and what did I watch in syndication. I think I'll tell you, the show that I found, because I know it came out in 72 and I wasn't even born yet, the show that I loved, and I definitely didn't watch it live, I loved Good Times. Do you remember Good Times?
I do.
With John Amos?
Yes, I remember the show. I'm familiar with it. I don't remember watching it live.
Ah, it was awesome. So even the opening. Good times. Anytime you need.
Anyway, R.I.P. Bob Uecker. It was obviously a legend. Milwaukee Brewers, Major League, all the stuff that we were just talking about. Mr. Belfry, though, I think an underrated
sneaky good.
Show. Sneaky good, that's right. All right, we'll come back, reset, get the Knicks calls as well. 888-808-1019. We'll get to Pete Alonso and continue that conversation as well. And also the Jets' potential future head coach.
I heard something from Aaron Glenn that makes me want him more.
And you wanted him to begin with, so even more now. So we'll get to all that. Your calls are next, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.